Esther. Esther's a great book. The name of God is not mentioned in it. But it doesn't mean it's not an inspired book. It is. It gives us behind the scenes look at the way God's hand moves, how He uses unsaved and saved alike to accomplish His will. Now, we know the children of Israel are very important to Him, and so there's a remnant that's in this land of the Medes and Persians. It's Ahasuerus is the king, and Ahasuerus is a worldwide king. Notice, if you would, that he has got 127 provinces in verse 4. Notice when he showed the riches of his, this is chapter 1, verse 4, and he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom, the honor of his majesty, excellent majesty, many days, and 180 days. Then you'll notice, if you would, he's in charge in verse 1 of over 127 and 20 provinces. It's a worldwide kingdom, the Medes and the Persians. So take note, if you would, that this is happening on a broad scale, a global scale. So he has a big party. It lasts for 6 months, 180 days. And he's trying to show the wealth of this kingdom. These Persian kings did that a lot. They wanted people to know how wealthy they were, so they'd invite friends and other people from around the world, and then invite them in, and they would party for 6 months. Well, then they had partied for 6 months, and he added 7 more days to it. And at the end, the middle of that time period there, it's right at the end of it, he is very proud of his wife. He's very proud of the queen, Queen Vashti. She's beautiful. Physically beautiful. And so he wants her to come in and he wants to introduce her to all of his crowd of friends. Sometimes there's 15,000 at these parties. It's been noted throughout history that there were thousands and thousands of people that would come, and it would show the magnificence of the king. Keep in mind, the Medes and Persians rule the world at this point in time. So Ahasuerus has had this huge party. He is ruler of the world, and all of a sudden he says, hey, go get my wife. I'd like for Queen Vashti to come. I want everybody to see her beauty. And so they go back and say, Queen Vashti. Now, Queen Vashti was having her own party. Notice, if you would, in verse number 9, also Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. So she's in the mansion of the king, and they're all having a great big party and having a great time and enjoying themselves. And she is now the leading lady of the world. So picture in your mind, you've got the king of the world, 127 provinces. And then over here, you've got the lady, the queen of the world. And so all of a sudden he says, hey, I want my friends, and keep in mind, probably 10,000-15,000. So this place, people everywhere. He said, would you have Queen Vashti come? And I want them to see she's so beautiful to me. And so Queen Vashti sends back a note. I'm not coming. Now, Southern girl, she probably said, I ain't coming. Something like that. Well, King Ahasuerus says, what? She said she's not coming. I don't have to tell you what that made him look like in front of the world. Well, he handles it all wrong. So he says, okay, I want my wise men to come here and tell me. Lawyers, come here and tell me what I should do. Well, you'll notice about that time he's asking for help to know what to do. And so we take up the story in Esther chapter 2. Notice, if you would, in verse number 22, it says, he sent letters in all the king's provinces and every province according to the writing thereof and to every people after their language. So he makes a worldwide search for a new queen. Now, notice what they did. The wise men said this. Look, what we want you to do, king, look in verse 19 of chapter 1. If it please the king, let there be a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes. And if you know anything about the law of Medes and Persians, it can't be changed. Remember, that's the reason Daniel was thrown in the lion's den. The king himself couldn't change his own decree that if anybody prayed to anybody but the king for 30 days, he'd be thrown in the lion's den. Well, that was a setup. Daniel went out, opened his windows and prayed, and they caught him, his enemies did, and brought him before the king, and the king himself couldn't change his own word. Because the law of the Medes and Persians can't be changed. So he had to throw him into the lion's den, and he didn't want that. And he wrote the law. So you'll notice in verse 19, they're saying, look, make a law that can't be changed. Here it is. It's written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes that it be not altered, that Vashti come no before King Ahasuerus. So banish the queen. Basically, divorce the queen. And notice, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than her. I want you to tell the queen she can never see your face again and give all of her money away. Let her be a beggar like everybody else in the kingdom. Just punish her. Now, I don't have to tell you this is not the right way to treat a wife. But he's a king. He can do anything he wants to do. And here Vashti became very arrogant, proud, and entitled, and said, I'm not going to do what you say, knowing that it would anger the king, that it would embarrass him publicly, but she didn't care. So the end result is his lawyers said, banish the queen and give away her wealth to somebody else. Well, notice, if you would, in verse 1 of chapter 2. That's where we pick up the chapter of the study we're studying tonight. Notice Roman numeral 1 in the outline. The king's advisors comforted the king with a plan to find a new queen. And what you have to understand is that God knew there was a man in the kingdom named Haman. He was a wicked man. He was an Agagite. And Saul was supposed to destroy the Agagites, but he didn't. And so now they've come back because they attacked Israel from the rear, killed small children, women, and old people. And God didn't forget that. And he told Saul to remove them, to eliminate them, so they wouldn't do that again. They were wicked people. Well, Saul didn't. And so the Agagites have continued to progress, and now Haman hates the Jews still. So he's going to make a plan in the few chapters following to destroy all the Jews. Well, now, these are God's chosen people, and he's not going to let that happen. So God knows Haman's plan from the first day the earth was made. And so God now allows Vashti to have an arrogant attitude, allows the king to do the wrong thing. Now keep in mind, if the Lord looked at all of us in this room and pulled back his hands, and all we were left to was to ourselves, we'd all do the wrong thing. Because it's our nature. But the Lord helps us to do the right thing. If we get close to the Lord, he strengthens us to do the right thing. That's the reason we need him. That's the reason we learn more about him in his word. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. But without that, we make more and more spiritual mistakes, fleshly mistakes. And so here, this unsaved king, God says, well, I'll use him and I'll use Vashti and her pride. And I will use them to put my queen in place and thwart Haman's plan. Now, that's what God is putting together. So you'll notice he steps back and allows these all this to happen. And all of a sudden, the king says, OK, let's do that. Let me find a new wife, a new beautiful woman. So notice in verse 1, after these things, when the wrath of King Ahasuerus was appeased. So he calmed down. And notice what it says. He remembered Vashti and what she had done, what was decreed against her. So he had calmed down and now he can think clearly. And notice, if you would, in Roman number 1, the king's advisors comforted the king with a plan to find a new king. And notice, A, the king calmed down from his anger and remembered Vashti. Okay, now he calmed down. He says, I know what she did. I'm going to fix this. I'm going to punish her, but I'm not going to be angry. Well, then notice B, quickly his advisor suggested a worldwide search for a beautiful new queen, and it pleased the king. He then forgot Vashti. So once the search began, he got excited about having a new wife, a new queen that's beautiful. He just brushed Vashti off. Happens a lot today. Well, not kings and queens, but marriages. It's always wrong. It's not God's plan. But God can use even our mistakes to facilitate his plans. He doesn't want to. He'd much rather use our righteousness. Notice, if you would, in the outline, number two, the Lord was controlling the whole process of finding the new queen. Nobody knew that, but God himself, you can see it in the scriptures now. You can see what God was up to. You can see him moving. Well, notice, in the outline, God is always in control. Now, read along with me, chapter 2, verse 2. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be a fair young virgins sought for the king. And let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom. The worldwide search. That they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Hege, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things be purification be given them. Now watch this. Verse 4. And let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. So now you see the plan that's in place. So they go find all through 127 provinces, and they look for the most beautiful young virgins in the kingdom. Young ladies never been married. They find, notice if you would, verse 5. Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite. Then notice 6. Who had been carried away from Jerusalem into captivity. Now, the Jews had been carried away in Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. And so they were still here. They had tried to settle down a little bit in their kingdom. Some of them had already gone back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple with Ezra. But this group was what was left. And God was protecting them. Now, Haman wanted to destroy every one of them. He offered a huge sum of money, millions and millions of dollars, on a certain date to destroy all the Jews that were in this Persian Empire. And so no one could stop it because it was the law of the Medes and Persians. We're going to see that in a minute, how God does stop it and reverses it, even though it was the law of the Medes and Persians that couldn't be reversed. And so you're going to see the hand of God move and all this. And all I want you to understand is that when you and I see something that can't be changed, we can see God's hand can change it. And I want you to see that. Now, as we look at the study, that's what the study's about. The hand of God moving in your life and my life and in this life here of this young girl. Now, notice if you would, in the outline, B, Esther's beauty was for God's use, not her own. Look in verse 7. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, her uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful. Apparently her parents had either died or been killed. And whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for her for his own daughter. So Mordecai, the brother of her father, takes her for his own daughter. She's a Jew. Now, they don't reveal their identity as Jewish people. I don't have to tell you, Jews are hated all over the world. For why? Why are they hated so much? Because Satan knows they're God's people. And he puts that hatred in everybody's hearts. The Germans, the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar's. I mean, you name it, Darius. I mean, he put the hatred of the Jews in so many people's hearts. And you say, why? One explanation. They're God's people and Satan wants them destroyed. If you know anything about the book of Revelation, there's coming a day whenever Satan is going to try to destroy Israel. There's a picture of the woman and the dragon and a child is born. And it's a picture of God protecting the children of Israel. in the book of Revelation. So you'll notice it doesn't stop till the end of the world. Well, notice if you would, in verse 8. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together into Shushan the palace to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also into the king's house to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. So there was one man that kept the king's harem. And so they're now bringing in all of these. And the Bible doesn't say how many there are. Hundreds, perhaps thousands. And so this keeper of the women is the first level of cut of these women. Okay, you can go back home. 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 And he kept a certain number. Well, everybody that looked at Esther said, wow, we're going to keep you. Mordecai didn't want her kept. He was trying to protect her. But she was so beautiful, so sweet, so innocent, that everybody that looked at her said, wow. Now, let me explain this to you. Daniel was a man. But in chapter 9 and chapter 6, the Bible says, chapter 5 and chapter 6 of Daniel, it said he had an excellent spirit. There's a certain countenance about godly people. When I say godly person, someone that loves the Lord with all their heart, there is an innocence about them. You read Daniel chapter 6, and he said, innocency was found in me. Innocence is a purity in men and women, love the Lord. She had this. So the chamberlain looks at her and says, wow, there's a certain purity about this young lady. Every godly woman ought to have that. There's a certain joy in her countenance. There's a certain integrity in her countenance. You say, how do you notice all that? Well, the Holy Spirit opens the hearts of people to say, wow, they just look different. That was all they were looking at, were the countenance of these women. Now, notice if you would, in verse 9, and the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her the things for purification, such things belonged to her, and seven maidens. So she so impressed him by her beauty and her grace and her sweetness and her innocence. There's not the scowl on her forehead. There's not the seriousness of lack of joy. There's a pleasantness on her face. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse number 10, and Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. So she didn't tell one person that she was a Jew, because he didn't want her slain because of her heritage. Now notice in the outline, D in the outline, well, C, Mordecai took Esther for his own daughter. And notice D, the king's decree included all beautiful women, even the poor. Now, she was not a wealthy lady. She didn't come. Mordecai wasn't wealthy. So it wasn't about from which side of the tracks you come on. It was about the countenance that you portrayed and had and said, wow. Now, remember, these women are covered from head to toe with shawls. And so they could just see their face and the glow that was there. And they said, oh, here's a beautiful young woman. And she has a glow about her face. I believe the Lord gives that to a woman of godliness. A woman, when you go up to speak to them, there's just a certain pleasantness that they have a smile about them. They have a kindness about them. You can pick up on it very quickly. Well, notice if you would, verse 11. And Mordecai walked every day before the court of the women's house to know how Esther did and what should become of her. So you can see, here's the house of all the women that they're housed. And so every day he's walking, looking for her out a window. If he could see, is Esther, is she doing all right? He's trying to catch somebody coming out. Is she okay? Do you know anything about Hadassah? Do you know anything about Hadassah? Do you know anything about her? And so he's trying to find out something about her. Well, notice if you would, in verse number 12. Now, when every maid's turn was to come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months, so they wanted to make sure she wasn't expecting. They wanted to make sure she was pure. So they had all these women stored for 12 months. Notice if you would, in verse number 12, it said, according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, 6 months of sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying women. So they gave them all kinds of oils and ointments to make their skin soft, to make them beautiful, to make them smell nice. And they did that for 12 months. So they had their own day spa for 12 months. And after that, they were going to be paraded for the king. Well, notice if you would, in verse number 13. Then thus came every maiden unto the king, whatsoever she desired was given her. Now, I want you to get this part. Whatsoever she desired was given to her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned in the second house of the women, to the custody of one of the king's men. And notice if you would in verse 15. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for a daughter, was come to go into the king, she required nothing. Now you notice in the outline. In the outline, Mordecai told Esther not to reveal her heritage of being a Jew. In two verses, verse 10 and verse 20, he said, don't reveal who you are. Don't reveal your lineage. It would harm you. They could kill you for it. So she didn't say a word. She obeyed her uncle as though he was her father. So she was an obedient young girl. She listened. And when we say young girl, she was 18, 20, 22, 24 in that range. Notice if you would, in verse number, in the outline, F, God gave her such natural beauty that she received nothing to be attractive. Nothing to catch the king's eye. Now, follow with me. No hats, scars, high heels, bright colors, just herself. She had outward and inward beauty. Notice, if you would, verse 15. Now, let me back up. There's nothing wrong with ladies wearing nice clothes and bright colors. There's nothing wrong with that. But this day, she was trying not to stick out. She was trying not to be chosen. So she required nothing. And it's obvious here, the plan of God, because all these other women had beautiful bright plumes and bright clothing and the best of the robes of what the Medes and Persians could have, things they had taken from all over the world. And here's this young girl, a Jew, that she required nothing. It was just a simple shawl of what would be normal for the dress of a woman of that day, because she was from the poor side of the tracks. So her things were nice because they were from the king, but they weren't to draw his attention because of the way she looked or the way she pranced around. She required, and I've got it underlined in my Bible, verse 15, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. So he gives every woman the same thing. Here's a pair of shoes. Everybody wears the same thing. Here's the same robe. Everybody wears the same thing. But now if you want something different, here's all the things you can choose from. So you can get a beautiful plume. You can get a long tassel. I mean, you can get whatever you want. We can do whatever you want. You get one shot for the king to look at you and say, wow, I'd like for you to be king. So Esther is really trying not to be king. Queen. Not trying to impress the king. She just says, oh, give me nothing. And it's almost like, are you trying to lose? And she just said, nothing. So here's the plan of God. She's going to be queen. And she's saying nothing. While all these other women that are there from all over the world that are beautiful, and they're putting in all of these special things that would cause the king to say, wow, look at that one, look at this one, look at that one. And here comes this simple girl with nothing. Notice what happens. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked on her. So what was it? It was not what she wore. It was not what she put on her face. It was the inward beauty of the blessing of God. And every woman can have that. Every man can have that. It's called the joy of the Lord. Now, I do understand she had a beautiful face. She was very fair to look upon. But she didn't use it for her benefit. She was trying to downplay it. But everybody saw right through it. There's something different about this girl. It's not the way she's dressed. It's not the way she's appointed. Notice, remember in verse 15, that the keeper of the women appointed her standard things. And that's the way she goes into the king with all the standard stuff on. And he looks at her and just melts. Why? Number one, God is in it. But number two, she was a pure, holy, and obedient young lady. And you can almost see it on her face. And notice what happened in verse number 16. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. So if you can picture in your mind, now watch this. Look back over if you would. If you take note in Esther chapter 1 and verse 3. Look here. In the 3rd year of his reign. So in the 3rd year of his reign, Vashti is removed as queen. Now notice back over. It said here in verse number 16. It's in the 7th year, so it's 4 years later. So the timing of the Lord is perfect. It's 4 years later, and they're looking for a queen. But they've been planning it for 4 years. So that tells you that Haman has had this plan in his mind for all these years. I'm going to get rid of these Jews. And God says, I'm going to outdo you. I'm going to prepare for Vashti to be removed and for this young girl to be awarded queen. Now notice quickly, if you would, Roman numeral 3. The king chose a new queen, Esther. A, all were smitten with Esther's beauty, joy, and innocence. Notice B, the king was blown away with Esther. God gave her the simplicity, elegance, and grace that won the king's heart. God directs our paths. And if you have your Bible, I want you to see very quickly. We're going to come back to this in just a minute. But notice C, he fell in love with her completely. D, Esther was crowned queen because of God's plan. Now notice over in chapter 4, verse 14, notice this. Mordecai says to her, when he finds out that the Jews are going to be destroyed, and he's asking her to go into the king and plead for the life of his people. Notice verse 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall this enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. God's going to take care of the Jews, with or without you, Esther. But God wants to use you. And notice the next phrase, it's a famous one. Thy father's house shall be destroyed. We may all be destroyed, but God's going to spare some Jews. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Do you understand, everyone in this room, you're in 2021 for a reason. Every one of us. What is it? Are you accomplishing the plan of God for your life. Now notice very quickly in the outline, Roman number 4, Mordecai caught two would-be murderers of the king within his own court. So he's walking around and he hears two men debating on how they're going to kill the king. A, Bigthan and Teresh were mad and wanted to kill the king. Look at verse 21 of chapter 2. In those days, while Mordecai sat in the king's gate, two of the king's chamberlains, Bigthan and Teresh, of those which kept the door, were wroth and sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. So he's got two of his own chamberlains trying to kill him. Well, Mordecai hears it. B, Mordecai turned them into Esther and they were executed. They were hung. Esther told the authorities, as the queen, they're trying to kill my husband, and they executed him. But notice what she does. See in the outline. Esther had certified in the books that Mordecai protected the king. Look at verse 22. And the thing was known to Mordecai, who told it unto Esther the queen, and Esther certified the king thereof in Mordecai's name. It's a little two-verse story, but it changes the course of history later. Notice D in the outline. Later, we find that doing right is always blessed of God, whether we know it or not. We should do right without the promise of reward. Now, I'm not going to tell you how it happens, but a little later on in the story, the king finds out that Mordecai had done this because she put it in the Chronicles. Just simply doing the right thing. Mordecai and Esther. And that saved the Jewish nation. God has a plan. And he's working it in every one of our lives. And there's nobody in this room that God does not have an intent to use you. At your place of work. In your home. God is working in our lives and through us. Turn with me at this verse and we'll close. Look at me, if you would, in Proverbs 21:1. Proverbs 21:1. And we're going to look at Psalm and close. Proverbs 21:1. Notice what it says. Proverbs 21:1. You might want to underline your Bible. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. He says, just like I control the direction of the rivers, I control every king's heart. So if God controls a king's heart, he controls your boss's heart. He controls your neighbor's heart. He controls the hearts of everyone that's around you. And notice lastly, Psalm 75, we'll close. Psalm 75. And in the outline it says Psalm 75, 57, but it's 5-7. Psalm 75. Notice with me if you would. Verse 5. Lift not up your horn on high. We don't have to praise ourselves. Here's Vashti wanted to be the queen and have the big party. And here is Esther that says, I don't require anything. Just let me go into the king. I don't want anything. Verse 5. Lift not up your horn on high. Don't lift yourself up. Speak not with a stiff neck. Don't be braggadocious or arrogant. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Promotion doesn't come from any direction, but verse 7. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. So you can look at it. He put down Vashti and raised up Esther. The hand of the king is in the heart. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. We must remember that. So whatever you're facing tonight, the Lord says, I've got it. Trust me. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer tonight. Maybe you're facing a difficulty tonight. You don't have to go out of your way. You just have to trust the Lord. I'm going to ask the pianist to play a verse. If you need to come to this altar tonight, maybe you want to bring your sheet of paper and pray at the altar. You're certainly welcome to do that. We have a good length of time now to be able to pray together. Lord Jesus, speak to hearts. Help us to realize that the heart of the King is in your hand. And you're going to take care of us. In your name we pray. Amen.